All right, so we're in part two of Kedushat Hayom for Shabbat Musaf. And we're about to start the words that begin with Az Misinai Nitzavu Aleha. Okay, and then it says Vatitzavenu Hashem Elokeinu Hakriv Ba'Korban Musaf Shabbat Karui. So we're starting with the phrase Az Misinai Stavu Aleha. And the reference, the Aleha, refers to Shabbat. So the way we're going to translate it is like this. Even before Har Sinai, we were commanded regarding it. So regarding what? Regarding Shabbat. Okay? And where did... Okay, that's exactly...
Did you miss me?
We did. And that's exactly why we are now going to look at the sheet that I gave out this evening. Okay. So, the idea that we were commanded regarding Shabbat prior to Har Sinai is based on a pasuk that appears in Parshat Bishalach. So it's a Sefer Shemot, Parshat Bishalach, Perek Tet Vav, Pasuk Chaf Hei. And there we have the following scenario. Klai Yisrael are wandering through the desert and they run out of water to drink. All that they have before them is a salty spring in a place called Mara. Mara is like the word mar, which means bitter. Okay? So Moshe is in a lot of trouble, as your grandmother probably would have said, in Gahak the Tsuris. Okay? So what happens? It says, Vayitzach El Hashem, that Moshe cried out to Hashem. Now, if you remember, going way back, because Baruch Hashem, we've been together since 2012. Going way back, we learned that Sa'aka is a lashon of what? Tefillah. It's an expression of tefillah. So it's not just that Moshe cried out to Hashem, but rather he davened to Hashem. Listen, Hashem, we're in trouble here. The people are very unhappy. They have no water to drink. And remember, it wasn't just even 600,000 men, which would have been a rather large number. Everyone had at least one wife, right? So that raises us to like 1.2 million. Then people had children, okay? And so the numbers, according to some estimates, were as high as 5.5-6 million people, all told, okay? A lot of people. So,
the animals have to drink too?
Any animals would have had to drink too because they couldn't have drunk brackish water. You're 100% correct. All right? So, V'yitzak al Hashem, Moshe daven to Hashem. V'yarehu Hashem, okay, eitz. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him, right, a kind of tree, okay, or some kind of piece of wood. Exactly what it was, we don't know. That it had unique properties, well, look what happens. Ashlech el Hamayim. And he threw this branch, this tree, this some kind of object of wood that had a unique ability to transform the water from brackish and bitter to sweet. V'yim teku Hamayim. And the water was sweetened. Somehow, some way, we don't know exactly, you know, the mechanics, and yes, it was miraculous, but this particular wood had the ability to take away the bitterness, to take away, if you will, a lean quality of the water, and then the water became drinkable. Okay? That's what happened. And now come the key words. Sham, there, some, there was given lo to him. Who's the him?
Moshe.
Moshe. And then Moshe, of course, as he does later on at Har Sinai itself, then everything right, with Klal Yisrael. So Sham Sam Lo Chok Umishpat. A chok, as we've learned over many, many times, a chok is a law. Reason currently eludes us. This is based on the Rambam. Umishpat, and that would be a halacha, a mitzvah, whose reason we can determine ourselves. For example, if the Torah had not told us kaved et avicha ve et imecha, we would have said logic would decree that, right? And I could have figured that out myself. If the Torah hadn't said lo tirtzach, don't murder, I would have been able to figure that out, because what kind of society can be maintained if people are murdering each other? Okay? So, at any rate, Sham Sam Lo Chok U'Mishpat. There, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Chukim and Mishpatim to Moshe, which he then shared with the people. V'am Nisau. And there, the people were what? Challenged. Okay, and Ayon. Like, for example, what Avraham Avinu went through. Okay, that's the first pasuk. Now, in order to understand the Gemara that we're going to see momentarily, we also need to see the next pasuk. Now, this next pasuk is all the way in Devarim, and it's in. Sure.
So you're saying that the chok and the mishpat, he just told Moshe the all the mitzvahs, all the commandments, and everything.
No.
It's just going to be Shabbos.
No, it's going to be limited. So I ask you, because it's
so where does it say here about Shabbos?
Good.
We're not there yet.
We're not there yet.
Oh. And what's the Visham Nisau?
Okay. I'm sorry?
The last two words?
Visham Nisau. And there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tried the Jewish people. A trial. What was the trial? The trial was, would they continue to believe Shabrichu, okay, or not? And they had the test after the miraculous event of changing and transforming the water. Okay? That's what the pasuk means. Now, next, we go to the Sefer Devarim, Parsha.
Why does that come after the talking about the Chalim Mishpatim? Like, why would...
Well, what happened... What the question is, why does Sham Nisau come at the end of the pasuk? So, what we basically have here... is those last two words are really a retrospective view of what took place at Mara overall.
Uh-huh. Okay, so it's closing up that.
It's finishing. It, as we would say in a literary sense, we're putting closure on the idea as to what took place. Remember, I'm only giving you one of the verses. It doesn't talk about the people complaining and crexing and being an Ankeshei Arif, as, you know, very typical for us to do. At this time especially. Remember, we have slave mentalities at this point. We're physically free. We're not spiritually free yet. And so forth. Okay, so again, take three. Devarim Parsha Vayachanan Perakei. So what happens in Perakei of Sefer Devarim Vayachanan? The second set of the Aseret Dibrot are discussed. And if you remember, the difference primarily was really between two words. There's some other slight differences, but in Parshat Yitro and Sefer Shemot, it's Zachor et Yom HaShabbat HaKadsho, and over here in Vayachanan, it's Shemor et Yom HaShabbat HaKadsho. Okay. Now, fascinatingly enough, look what it says in the Pasuk. Shemor et Yom HaShabbat HaKadsho. All right. I guard the Shabbat day to keep it holy. Now here comes the zinger. Ka'asher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. Like the Lord your God commanded you. Now remember, this is just the second narrative of the Aseret HaDibrot. So the real question becomes, what do these words mean? Ka'asher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha.
So,
the first time around. Good. And where... Now, using your good Sherlock Holmes skills, where did this take place?
The second one?
No. Ka'asivicha Hashem.
That's
referencing
from
what?
The first pasuk.
Oh, the first pasuk.
From the first pasuk, which was what? At Mara. Now, don't take my word for it, and don't take Rashi's word for it. We have a much better word for
question.
It. Yes?
If this is the second time that Shamar et Yom HaShabbat Lekadsho other than the Zohar.
Correct. All this is so, a is the Aseret Divrot redo.
Ka'asha Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, going back to Shemos Yisrael.
You would have thought that, except for one thing.
I would have, I did.
Okay, except for one thing. Remember that Moshe is simply recounting the original event. Not that it took place a second time. So therefore, in his recounting of the original story, which again was a Sefer Shemot story, okay, you one is forced, since it's only a recounting, to ask, what does Ka'asher Tzivcha mean? Because this is the self-same event, with but a single change in word, merely, namely, Zachor is substituted with Shamor. So it's harking back to an earlier event. And what was that earlier event? As the Gemara is going to tell us in just a moment, that was what took place at Mara. And Rashi brings down this Gemara with some slight changes in his Perush on Sefer Shmod, Parsha B'Shalach, the first pasuk that we saw. So let's take a look. It says, Bahatanya. All right, we learned in a Braita. Eser mitzvot nitzavu Yisrael b'mara. Here we go. B'nei Yisrael were commanded 10 commandments at Mara. So, Chaya, you asked, were they given all the commandments at Mara? No.
That's the top 10.
They were given 10. And I'm sorry to disappoint you. They weren't the top 10. They weren't the Aseret HaDibrot. Let's see what they were. Shekiblu aleihem b'nei Noach. First, at Mara, they were officially given the same mitzvah that B'nai Noach already had. Okay? From all the way back to the very beginning of B'nai Noach. V'hosifu aleihen, and added to those seven mitzvot of B'nai Noach were, here you go, dinin. Dinin means to have laws and to have courts. We're talking about having judges. V'shabbat. Okay, so the lights should all start going off at this point. V'kibud avaim. Rashi, by the way, has a different list. We're not going to go into it right now, but this is what the Gemara says. Okay? So how do you know, is in classic Gemara fashion, right, how do you know that we're given where? At Mara. How do you know that? Dichtiv, sham, sam, lo, chok, u'mishpat. So mishpat clearly, incontrovertibly, would refer to the laws of judges and such. Okay? Where chok would refer to some of those things that needed to be adjudicated that, again, as I said earlier, reasons were not yet forthcoming. Okay. What about Shabbat v'kibud av v'eim? How do you know about that? Dichtiv, and here, as I said, was a zinger earlier, Ka'asher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, like Hashem already commanded you. So where did that take place? Says Rav Yehuda, Ka'asher tzivcha b'mara. It took place at Mara. So, with that as the intro, let's now go back and look at the place we began. Az mesitavu aleha. So, at even before Har Sinai, we were commanded. So now, everyone will tell me, where were we commanded? At Mara. Okay, so now we know where. You ready? Next question is, what? What nature of Shabbat at Mara compared to the nature of Shabbat at Har Sinai? Because they couldn't have been one and the same, without any doubt. They had to be different.
But we didn't learn about Shabbos at Mara.
Sure we did. I just showed you.
No. I don't mean, but that it went into more detail later on about, you know, the bird and the two loaves of bread and how you only took the man. You didn't take the man on Shabbos.
Yeah, of course. That's true.
So you didn't get the explanations of what to do on Shabbos.
Okay, but we also, from the Gemara that we just saw a moment ago, we don't actually know the nature of Shabbat alamara. In other words, something happened regarding Shabbat, and we don't necessarily know exactly what it was. Okay? That's what I'm suggesting. And it had to be different than when Har Sinai. So Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal explained it like this. He said, at Mara, all we got was the Isur Malacha. Now, what fit the prohibition of doing Malacha? Why does that fit so brilliantly? Look back at our text. Look back at our text from Sefer Devarim. Shamor ad yom ha-shavad l'kadsho ka'asher tzivecha. So what is highlighted in Sefer Devarim? Shamor. What is Shamor? Refraining from Malacha. Where is Zachor found? In the first set of the Aseret HaDibrot. But there in the first set of the Aseret HaDibrot, it does not say Ka'asher tzivecha Hashem. The only time it says Ka'asher tzivecha Hashem is by Shamor. So you can see what excellent grounds the Rav was actually on when he said at Mara was an Isur Malacha. Okay. Well, what then was commanded at Har Sinai? Well, the Rav actually specifically said, and I have to quote my Rebbe accurately, the Rav specifically said the Korbanot of Shabbat were commanded at Har Sinai. But I would also go with the second idea, of course, which is Zachor. So, as we know, Shamor v'Zachor b'dibur echad. There you go, right? So, in addition to what the Rav said, with this emphasis on the Korbanot, right, being at Har Sinai, okay, so we'd also have to put in the Zachor, the positive, all the beautiful things of Shabbat. So, for example, when you cook and prepare for Shabbat, okay, that's a fulfillment of Zachor. Okay, it's certainly not Shamor, but it's Zachor. Okay, Oneg Shabbat, which we're going to see a little bit later as well, okay, that's all about Zachor. So I would say that really at Har Sinai, you have another restatement of Shamor, okay, and to go with what you said, Chaya, further explanatory notes, if you will, as to what that means. But then you have two new things happening at Har Sinai, namely Korbanot, says Rav Soloveitchik, and my own suggestion is pretty clear, of Zachor. Okay? Now, the Rav again is in excellent position. Why? Because what do we have? After the Az Masinai Nitzavu Aleha, what does it say? V'titzavenu Hashem Elokeinu L'hakriv Ba'an Musaf Shabakrui. So, when was the actual tzivui, okay, regarding the Korbanot? The text itself tells us, at Har Sinai. So the Korbanot of Shabbat were clearly at Har Sinai. Okay? And like I said, in addition, you have Zachor. Okay? And after all, why? I mean, because you and I could have said, there were many, many Korbanot commanded at Har Sinai. Why mention specifically the Korban Musaf of Shabbat? Because after all, we're now learning Kedushat Hayom of Shabbat Musaf. Right? And as a result, if that's the case, so the particular Korban that needs to be highlighted is the Korban Musaf of Shabbat. We're good so far? Does that see how that all comes together? Now, I know it sounds, hopefully it sounds clear, simple, and direct. I want to assure you that to get all of that to come together was an interesting learning experience, and I hope that it's something we can all take with ourselves, you know, with one another and with ourselves, and we dive in, okay? Because now it makes sense for the first time, at least, for you know, many of us. Okay, now, Yehirat Tzom. So you know what Yehirat Tzom means. You know, Halavai, right? It should only be Lefanecha, from before you, Hashem Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avoteinu. So when we get into the expression of Hashem Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avoteinu, what does that hearken back to, of course? The first bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei. Right? Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzhak, etc. Okay, so we have but one Hashem for all time, for all eternity, past, present, and future. It's Elokeinu, Elokei Avotenu. So may it be your will, Hashem, God, our God, and God of our fathers. Now, very interesting. We have two fascinating words that are used. Shita'aleinu, that you should raise us up. Besimcha, in joy. La'artseinu. So literally it means you should really bring us up in joy to our land. So for those of you who are religious Zionists, which means everyone probably in the room, what would this sound like to you? Ta'aleinu sounds like Aliyah. That's what it sounds like. That you should bring us up. You should enable us to go in simcha to our land. And we shouldn't just go there and visit, right? But rather, what should we do? V'titainu. We should be planted, okay? We should be permanently ensconced. We should not be a visitor, but we should be ezrachim. We should be citizens. Bigvulenu, within our boundaries. And how do we know what our boundaries are? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu mentions them explicitly in the Torah itself. You know? It reminds me, I heard this from Rav Moshe Bezdin, Zichrono Levracha, a very special person, one of my rebbes. And Rav Moshe Bezdin Zatzal said, over a following story that happened with Rav Avram Yitzchak Cook, the first Ashkenazi rabbi of the British Mandate. Okay, big tzaddik, very special, a mekubal, a shoel umeshiv. He wrote many svarim on halacha, very special. So he was asked by a British judge in a British courtroom in quote unquote Palestine, okay, to support the Jewish claim to the land. Okay? In other words, it had been the Balfour Declaration in 1917 that I think we all are familiar with. But of course, we don't have the mandate fully given to us to have our own land until 1948. So in betwixt, there was a British mandate of Eretz Yisrael, and Ralph Cook was called upon to represent the Jewish view as to why we deserved our land. So Ralph Cook said, is there a Jewish Bible here? And someone brought him a Tanakh. He opens it up to Parshat Lech Lecha, and he just starts reading and translating. Okay? Lech Lecha me'artzecha el ha'aretz asher ha'arecha, right? To the land I will show you. Okay, and then he went to different passages that describe the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. So that's what it is. V'titainu b'gvulenu, and plant us permanently in our land, in the boundaries that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have decreed to us. Okay? Now, again, this is all about the Korban Musaf. V'sham na'aseh lefanecha. So once we're there, and obviously we have a rebuilt Beit HaMikdash, okay? And already, by the way, one of the themes that you should note in Musaf, there's a messianic theme. Okay? Oh, it's interesting. You don't see in the Gushet Hayom anywhere in a direct statement regarding Mashiach Tzidkenu. You don't see that. But obviously we're talking about going back to Israel, living there permanently, and then we're going to reoffer the korbanot. So how's that going to happen? Only through Mashiach. Okay. So v'sham na'aseh lefanecha korbanot chavotenu. Then we're going to offer our obligatory korbanot. Okay. And I prefer to translate. And we've had this discussion before. Korbanot really not as sacrifices, but rather as offerings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With drawing on Rabbeinu Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, who points out the korbanot comes from the word kuf resh bet, karov, which means to draw near. So that's why it's our offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to enable us to draw near to Him. So the korbanot chavotemu are obligatory korbanot, namely, tamidim kesidran. Tamidin mean the daily ongoing korban tamid, right? We all know what the ner tamid is, okay? And there was a ner tamid, of course, in the Beit HaMikdash as well. But the idea here is the tamidim kesidran, that we're going to have the korban tamid every single day, okay? Umusafim, all right? And musafim, and the korban musaf, and not just the korban musaf of Shabbat, but what? Every yontif has a korban musaf as well, right? So we're going to have the tamidim daily, and the extra added attraction, okay, of musafim kehilchatan, and the musafim according to their halacha. Now, the interesting question that bothered me right away was, why does it say tamidim kesidran, right, the daily ongoing korbanot according to their set order, and musafim kehilchatan, and the musafim, right, according to their, why make a differentiation, right? Why would it say in one case kesidran, and the other case kehilchatan? Just gonna.
So I don't want you to get cold. So
that's I think a very reasonable question. So I did find an answer in doing my research from the Sefer Ya'arot Devash, okay, which is written by Rav Yonatan Eibeschutz, who lived 1690 to 1764. Okay? And he said this, Kesidran refers to Torah Shebichtav. And Kehilchatan, you already know what that's going to refer to, Torah Shebaalpeh. Because when we talk about halacha, okay, we're not just, halacha doesn't refer just to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us directly, but it also refers to the halachot that were derived from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us directly. So Kesidran, Torah Shebichtav, says Ya'arot HaDvash, and then Kehilchatan would refer to Torah Shebaalpeh. So in other words, what this is really, and this fits beautifully with what the Rambam says in Sefer Shoftim, okay, that if there will arise someone who we recognize as Mashiach, who brings back all the halachot as they originally were at the time of David, his forebear, both the halachot, the Shebichtav, and right, the laws that are actually found in the Torah per se, as well as halachot shel Baal Peh, right? That would be one of the clear signs that he was truly Mashiach. Sheyavo aleinu b'mirav amenu. Okay? Now, we continue. At Musaf, Yom, now you'll notice the version here in the Machzor Vitri is Hamanuach, right? The Musaf of this day of rest. What do we have? I put that in brackets. Okay, at Musaf Yom HaShabbat Hazeh. That's our text. Okay? But the idea of Menucha is something we always talk about, right? Shabbat Menucha. And what does that really refer to? So we're all tempted to say, let me sleep. Okay? But the truth of the matter is, if a person at the onset of Shabbat slept until the end of Shabbat, he or she would not have had Shabbat Menucha. Because what is Menucha? Menucha is spiritual. Okay? And everybody, you know, to each on their own level, but whatever you do, okay, and the very fact that you're at the shir, I'm sure you do something. Whatever you do to invest the Shabbat day with uniqueness for you and spirituality for you, that's very important. So you can see readily the text here from the Machzor Vitri, okay? But again, we have Ed Yom HaShabbat HaZeh. So what are we going to do? Naaseh. So what we're going to do is that, don't think that we're going to feel forced to bring the korbanot, We're going to do it rejoicing. We're going to dance with joy. We're going to be overwhelmed. And that's what it says here. And that's what the text Naase, we will do this. V'nak riv. And we will offer. Lifanecha, before you. How? What's the operating word here? Be'ahava. We're going to do it out of love and devotion. Okay? K'mitzvat b'tzonecha. According to the mitzvah of your desire. K'mo shekatavta aleinu, just like you commanded to us. B'toratecha in your Torah. Ayidei Moshe avdecha, through Moshe your servant. Mipik vodecha kamor, who was, notice what he says, that Moshe your servant was operating mipik vodecha kamor. So in other words, what does that really mean? Well, first the simple translation. Moshe your servant, from the mouth, so to speak, of your glory, as it is said. So this leads to the famous Chazal that says the Shechina was midaberet migrono shel Moshe, that the Shechina spoke from the throat of Moshe. Okay, so that's why, for example, in comparing Moshe to Yahushua, Moshe is the sun, and Yahushua is the moon, because the Shechina did not speak from the mouth of Yahushua. But what did Yahushua do? He was a reflection, like the moon. He was a reflection of Moshe's sun. Okay? So, here's what it says in the Torah. Uv'yom HaShabbat, and on the day of Shabbat, Shnei Kivasim, two lambs. Okay? And these are males. B'nei Shana, that are within their first year. Tamimim. What does Tamimim mean? Perfect. Unblemished, okay? Ushnei esronim, and two tenths, solet, fine flour, okay? Mincha, as a meal offering, belula bashemen, mixed up, okay? Sort of think of like of a tzimis, right? You're going to mix up the fine flour, bashemen, in olive oil, viniska, and it's wine libation. Okay. Olad Shabbat b'Shabbato. This Musaf is going to be specific for Shabbat. And it's going to be Al, in addition, Olad HaTamid v'Niska, in addition to the Korban Tamid that's brought every single day, and its offering. So remember, yes, Korbanot were brought when? On Shabbat, on Yom Tov, on Yom Kippur, that, because there you use the principle that Chazal derived from all this of what? Aseh docheh lo ta'aseh. So it's true. Are you allowed, let's assume that you were a shochet, are you allowed, unless it's pekuach nefesh to save someone's life, to do shechita on Shabbat? 100% not. 100% not. But if you had to be do shechita on a korban, was that allowed in the Beit HaMikdash? 100% yes. Because the positive would set aside the negative depending upon where you were. Okay? Now, we have left at this juncture the world of korbanot, and we're going to go on to the next part that I think we can relate to in a more direct way. Yismechu b'malchutecha. That they will rejoice in your kingship. Okay, who will rejoice in your kingship? So this is kind of written a little bit backwards. Shomrei Shabbat. So you could have really written it like this: Shomrei Shabbat. Those people who guard the Shabbat, yismechu b'malchutecha. Right, or b'malchutecha. They will rejoice in your what? In your kingship, right? Which is why the most basic and essential idea of being a practicing, believing Jew, okay, and the way people will be asked is he, she, a Shomer Shabbos? You've heard that your whole life, okay? And that might have been, one of your criteria in meeting, so probably the logical idea. So Shomrei Shabbat, which again is of the essence of being a Orthodox practicing Jew, Yismachu b'malchutecha, they will rejoice in your kingship. V'korei Oneg, okay? And they will call the Shabbat Oneg. What does Oneg mean? It's a delight. Now, I'm going to explain it.
Okay.
Well, it's good. No, you're asking good questions. But just to prove it to you. I'm going to do it right now. Just give me a second. But before we do that, a word from our sponsor. Turn to this page. Okay, the back. And go down to the pasuk that we used last week. The last pasuk on the page. Okay. Where did Chazal, when they formulated our tefillah, get the idea of calling Shabbat an oneg? From Yeshayahu. Perek nun chet, pasuk yugimel. Im tashiv mi Shabbat, right? Raglecha. Okay, if you're going to withhold, okay, on Shabbat your foot, right? Asot chafatzecha, from doing what you want to do, such as texting. B'yom kachi, on my holy day, and here's the key, v'karat el Shabbat oneg. So if you're a shomer Shabbat, then you're going to be karat el Shabbat oneg, which then, now you see how beautifully that fits with what we just did, right? That yismachu b'malchutecha, shomer Shabbat, v'korei oneg. Going to call it a delight. Now, question, what's the difference between oneg and simcha? There's got to be a difference, right? Because how do we describe Yom Tov? And Chaya, good. I'm really glad that you're 100% in there, okay? Because you asked a great question. How do we describe Yom Tov? What do we call it? We call it Simchat Yom Tov. You don't hear oneg Yom Tov. How do we describe Shabbat? Oneg Shabbat. To the point where Oneg Shabbat, right? The joy of Shabbat has become actually a noun. Okay, there's going to be an Oneg Shabbat Friday night, right? So, what's the diff? That's the obvious question. Okay. Now, it seems that Simcha of Yom Tov is much more defined than Oneg of Shabbat. So, for example, the Rambam, based on many different sources, says this. He says, for a male on Yom Tov, how does he have Simchat Yom Tov? Basar v'yayin. Okay? Basar v'yayin. Not that women don't enjoy it as well, but don't worry, you know, guys are not being left out. How does a woman in particular enjoy Yom Tov? Well, hopefully her husband got her some jewelry. Hopefully, she's wearing a nice new dress for Yontif. Okay.
It's so materialistic versus
spiritual.
Yeah.
Because Yom Tov is very physical. You're going to go up to Yerushalayim. You're going to offer korbanot. Okay. And not only that, you're ready for this one. It's in the Torah itself. What is the name of the korban that we bring on every single Yom Tov? It's a Shalmei Simcha. It's a complete offering of joy. So when do you have physical joy in particular? Yom Tov. That's why. Yes, it's physical.
We're not ascetic people.
Correct. And what do the kids get? They get nash. They get little toys.
I love the jewelry.
Right, you like the jewelry and the new clothes. Okay, it's very nice. So that's Yom Tov. It's pretty well defined. Okay, and by the way, with the basar and yayin and all of that on Yom Tov, I've said this before. You've heard Rabbi Richman say this many times. It is not enough for us to have simcha of Yom Tov if we don't make sure that those who have less than we do also have Simcha of Yom Tov, then it's not called Simcha Yom Tov at all. He quoted the Rambam, the famous Rambam. It's called instead satisfying your belly. Satisfying your belly is not what Yom Tov is about. Because Kol Yisrael are Ravim Zalazeh. Everybody's responsible for everyone else. So since that's the case, you have to make sure that everybody enjoys. Okay, what's Oneg? Well, as you might suspect, if Yom Tov is primarily physical, so Shabbat with Oneg, and well, by the way, as I just showed you, I hate to say it, but it really is different strokes for different folks, right? Okay, so that's Yom Tov. Shabbat, Oneg, is very different. It's not well defined. Okay? If you enjoy reading on Shabbat and it brings you joy, and you know, whether you're reading a novel or you're learning something that you don't learn necessarily during the week, it's something different. Say you're learning Mishle. You know, you don't learn Mishle the whole week. So that's part of your Shabbat Oneg. So it's something special. But you see how it's not defined. In other words, your Oneg and my Oneg may be very different. Okay? And maybe I like, I don't know, maybe I like cholent with a lot of garlic. Okay? On Shabbat. You don't have to like it. But maybe I do. So that's part of my Oneg. And somebody else, no, I only want to have this kind of fish prepared this kind of way. So Oneg is going to be defined very differently between Shabbat and Yom Tov. Okay? But that's why the Kore Oneg. Okay? You're going to call it a delight. Okay. Amikadshei Shvi'i, the people who sanctify the seventh day, Kulam Yisba'u V'yit'angu Mituvecha. They will be soveya, they will be satisfied, and they will rejoice, they'll delight from your goodness. What goodness? The present of Shabbat. Okay? What do we say from the 20th century that we're still saying now? Hang in there, baby, Shabbat is coming. Right? And we start saying that as soon as Tuesday night. Okay? Ubishvi, and on the seventh day, Ratzita Bo, this is what you wanted. V'kidashta, and again in this text of Machzor Vitri, it says, Kidashta Oto, okay? And as we know, it is the most desired of all days. Shabbat's on a higher level than Yom Kippur. Chemdat Yamim Oto Karata, you called it the most beloved of all days. Okay, Zecher L'maaseh B'reishit. After all, Vayichu Hashemayim V'aretz V'chol Tzava'am. Right, and so forth. So, we go into the final stretch, because I do want to finish this evening, and then we're going to do it. Elokeinu V'elokeinu V'etenu, Ritzei V'nuchatenu, Kodesh Baruch Hu, our God and the God of our fathers. It's not an accident that it's repeated twice. Okay? Please be desirous of our rest. And again, what kind of rest are we talking about? Spirituality, v'kachenu v'mitzvotecha. Sanctify us through your commandments. V'ten chelkenu v'toratecha. And, right, allow us to have a portion in your Torah. Okay, so no matter how hard we work and at chapping the Torah, we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to, so to speak, stretch out His hand so that we can do that. V'sabeinu mituvecha, allow us to be satisfied from your goodness. Okay? V'samcheinu b'shuatecha. Again, a messianic note, right? Let us rejoice in your salvation. V'taher libeinu. Okay? We have la'avdecha be'emet, and Machzor Vitri had la'ovdecha be'emet. Same idea. And purify our hearts, our minds, to serve you in truth. Not lip service, not just bringing a physical korban, but rather what? Bringing ourselves before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rejoicing in His presence. V'anchilenu Hashem Elokeinu, and bestow upon us God, Hashem our God, bi'ahava, in love, uberatzon, and in desire, Shabbat kachecha. your holy Shabbat. And here, we have in our text, the Machzor Vitri did not, V'yanuchu vo Yisrael mikadshei shemecha. And may the Jewish people rest, again, not just, you know, sleep, but what? Be spiritually reinvigorated. A spiritual rebirth. Every single Shabbat is as if you went to a spiritual mikvah. Okay? Mekadshei shemecha, those who sanctify your name, Baruch Ata Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbat. And we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the sanctifier of Shabbat. Because remember, we do not sanctify Shabbat. It's already been done for us. What we do, said Rav Soloveitchik, is that by keeping Shabbat, we raise the sanctity to an even higher level.